Today she is Masechta Baba Basra, that Pei Aleph. We will begin on that Pei Aleph from an Aleph at the Mishnah tap towards the top of Amid. Teaches us the Mishnah kind of Shaylonis Betoich Stei Chaveri. If somebody buys two trees in somebody else's property, Hareza Lekona Karka. The buyer does not have any ownership, says the Mishnah, in the land around the property. He only has ownership in the actual trees. Ramei Eimer, but Ramei's opinion is that Kana Karka, he does attain ownership in the property as well. The Rashbam says that obviously the case of our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the property was sold and it wasn't clearly articulated, is the land included or not? And as we often say in our Shurim, that's really the subject of most of the Mishnayis that we're learning in this Masechta, where it wasn't clear what's included and what's not. And that's why Bezdin has to decide what is or isn't. And as we often also say in our Shurim when we have this type of a question, the case of our Mishnah is where there's no clear Minig HaMedina. Because if there's a clear Minig HaMedina, so then the Halacha tells us to follow the Minig HaMedina. But then the Rashbam begins a discussion. Is the Machloikis that we just learned in our Mishnah connected to the Machloikis that we've learned so many times in our Masechta, Moicher Ben Yofa Moicher, Moicher Ben Ram Moicher, when you sell something, do you sell it generously or not? Some want to suggest that our Mishnah is only following the opinion of the Rabbanan, who say Moicher Ben Ram Moicher, and a seller is not generous typically in when he sells. And since he's not generous in what he sells, so that's why the halacha is that the sale, now we have a question, what is included or not. According to Rekiva, who says Moicher Ben Yofa Moicher, that when you sell, you always sell generously. So we could certainly assume that according to Rekiva, no matter how much you or how little you bought, the land under those trees is included. Tosfos, however, disagrees. And he says that the machlokes that we just learned in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rameir is not connected to the machlokes of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva. Because he explains, even Rabbi Kiva, who holds Moicher Ben Yofa Moicher, the question is this considered a stay Elon? When you sell a stay Elon, so then the halach is the land is included. And the question that needs to be discussed here is this considered a stay Elon? Moreover, the Tveris Yisrael makes a point to say that the Tanakam of our Mishnah says that when you buy two trees, you don't receive any land. So he says that that does not include that you get a path to your trees. You may not get any land in the property, but it's understood and included that you get you have a path to your tree. And he says, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who say that Moicher Ben Ram Moicher, and if therefore we learned so many times, if you sell somebody a bar of dos, you sell somebody a pit in the property, the path to that pit, according to Rabbanan, is not included. So the Tras Yisrael explains that's because the bar is not really part of the field. Since the bar is not part of the field, and they hold Moicher Ben Ra, who Moicher, so then the path is not included. Here, however, when somebody buys, and the argument can be made that the bar has no connection to the field, and therefore it's not included. However, when we speak about our case, where somebody bought a tree, even if we're going to say that he doesn't get the land around the tree, as we are learning, there's no way that he doesn't get a path to the tree. If he doesn't get a path to the tree, then what was the purpose of his buying the tree? And therefore, in this case, everybody will agree, even the Rabbanan, that he gets a path to his tree. So says the Tveris Yisrael. Higdilu. The Mishnah continues to discuss a case where you bought two trees. According to the Tanakhama, you don't get land around the two trees. The question is, if the trees start to extend and they start to block the sun from this property, does the seller, or who now is still the owner of this property, have a right to trim those trees? So says the Mishnah, Hegdilu, if these trees start to extend, lo yishapa. The halach is, he has no right, the seller of the trees, who's the owner of the property, has no right to trim the trees. And the reason he has no right to trim the trees is because even though the buyer does not become the owner of that land, he's certainly included in buying the trees, which really means leasing the trees. Included in that lease is a lease on the property that he should be able to have his trees extend over those property. Ha'olim and Ageza, and any branches that come out from the tree trunk, shaloi, belong to the owner of the tree. Minashroshim, however, any branches that extend from the root, shabal karka, belong to the owner of the field. V'mesu, if the tree dies, ein lo karka, his rights end, and he can't replant another tree. But explains the Rashbam that even though he can't plant another tree to replace the tree that dies, as long as the tree is alive, the owner cannot tell him that you have to remove your tree. Of course he can't tell him to remove your tree, because that's exactly the point of why he bought the tree, that he should be able to have the tree as long as it lasts. However, continues the Mishnah, Kana Shloisha, if somebody bought three trees, Kana Karka, then he owns the property around those trees. And therefore, Higdilu, if they extend past the property that he owns in this field, Yishapa, then it becomes the buyer's obligation to trim them. Ve'olam and Agesim and Ashroshim, anything that extends, any branches that stand from the trunk or from the roots, Shaloi. The mesu, and if the tree dies, the loch is yesh lo karka, because as we just, the mesu, the loch is yesh lo karka, he has property, and that means not only does he have property, that the tree, he can replant a new tree in this spot. The Rishonim debate that this halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah, that if you buy three trees, you become the owner of property, does it apply to all types of trees? The Rebbeinu Yonah says it's only trees that are large trees that are already producing fruit. But when we have small saplings, then he says that's not included. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says the Mishnah doesn't make any such distinction. And since the Mishnah doesn't make any such distinction, it doesn't make a difference what type of tree, what size tree. If you buy three trees, they become yours. The question here is that the Mishnah just said, if you bought three trees and you're allowed to, and they start, the branches start to extend, so you have to trim them. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean, as we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem extensively in our shir, what is the amount of land this buyer receives? And what the Mishnah Pasha Pshat is teaching us, that if they extend past the amount of land that the buyer is entitled to, then the seller could trim them. Others say that the shear of how much you're entitled in the land, and the halacha that if they start to extend, you're allowed to trim them, don't necessarily travel together. And maybe even at a smaller shear, the halacha will be that they have to be, that the seller, the who owns the rest of the property, would be allowed to trim them. Tanan Hossam begins the Gemara with discussing the halacha Bikurim, and the Mishnah Masechta Bikurim Perek Al Mishnah Vav speaks about Hakanish Day Lonis B'Tar Shel Chaver. If somebody buys two trees in somebody else's property, maybe he has to bring Bikurim. The halacha is that every year the first of the Zayin Minim, the first fruit of the Zayin Minim, are brought to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Kohen, as we're going to be learning. they're brought to the mizbeach, and then they're given to the kohen, and the kohen eats from them. And the person who brings the bikurim, as we're going to also learn, is going to have to say a whole parsha around bringing the bikurim. So says the Mishnah over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lanos b'toich shel chaver. If somebody bought two trees in somebody else's property, maybe ve'ena koira. The halach is he brings the bikurim, but he doesn't say the parsha of bikurim. Because included in that parsha are the words, pri hadoma ashanasatali. And as we just learned in the Mishnah, if you only bought two trees, you don't get any property. Ramei's opinion is that not only does he bring the bikurim, but he also says the parsha bikurim. Om Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, to which Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul comments, Mechayiv Hay Ramei, where Ramei says that you bring bikurim even in such circumstances, Af Belakech Peres Min Hashok, even if you just buy fruit from the street, the halacha is that you have to maybe you bring bikurim v'kairi. The Pashup Shat that the Ritva learns, that what the Mishnah, what the Gemara means here is, this is the way the Ritva says, that you bought Peres from the marketplace and they are bikurim, and you have to take them and bring bikurim. The Rashbam seems to say that's not what you bought from the street, from the market. If you brought from the market, there's a real concern, how do we know that this is bikurim? But rather, it's speaking about, you know that this is the tree that never bikurim was brought from. And since there was never bikurim brought from this tree, so even though you don't own the tree, the halacha is you have to bring bikurim. If you brought the first fruits from that tree, you're going to have to bring bikurim. Memai, ask the Gemara, why should we say that even now kolikech peres min hashuk, you have to bring bikurim? Answers the Gemara, mid the ketani mishni seira. The Mishnah Masechet Bikurim is superfluous. Michti, Tana de Yeshlei Karka. We know that the halacha is that, and our Mishnah just taught us, that according to Rameya, if somebody owns two trees in a property, he owns the property. So if he owns the property, obviously he has to bring Bikurim from trees that are from trees on his property. And when you have to bring Bikurim, as we just said, you have to say the Parsha Bikurim. Al Shmamino, what is the Mishnah Masechet Bikurim trying to add and teach us? The Mechayiv Hay Rameya, the Rameya is saying that you have to bring Bikurim, Apel Akeh Peres Min Hashuk, under all circumstances you have to bring Bikurim. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's shot in Rameya? V'ksiv, the pasuk says, "Vilkach the mereshes pre kol adama, asher tavi ma'artzecha." And this is not artzecha; you don't own the land. Answers the Gemara: that pasuk is coming to teach us hahu lemutei chutzlars. The pasuk is coming to teach us that there's no chi bikurim in peiros of chutzlars. So Tosfos asks: the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin teaches us that flamed vavam beis kol mitzvah shitluy baaretz, any mitzvah that's connected to the ground. So why would we think, asked Tosfos, that the mitzvah of Bikurim applies even to fruit that grows in chutzlars, that we need a pasuk that it doesn't? So Tosfos answers that since the pasuk that speaks about Bikurim says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Moscha, Tavi Beis Hashem Lekecha, and then the pasuk continues, Lo Yisavashel Gedi B'chalevi Moi, the pasuk to teach us that we're not allowed to cook basa b'chalev. So we would think that the halacha bikurim travels together with the halacha basa b'chalav. And just like basa b'chalav applies in chutz laretz, so too bikurim maybe applies in chutz laretz. That's why we need a pasuk to say that it does not. Another teretz is that the mitzvah bikurim, says the Rashbam, the Rashba, is not mitzvah that should be understood as tlui baretz, that it depends on where it grows. Rather, the mitzvah of Bikurim is dependent on the person. The person has an obligation to bring Bikurim. So we look at Bikurim as a chayvus aguf, then we would think that it applies even in chutzlarts. Why would we think so? Because unlike truma, where halach is that until truma is separated from the produce, not only may the truma only be eaten, obviously by somebody who's allowed to eat truma, no one can eat any of it because it's tevel. That halach doesn't apply by truma. Moreover, by truma, as the Gemara often teaches us, the halach is that one cannot take truma off the produce until a certain point, at shismarcha kri, until it was finished processing. So we see it's a halacha in the peri, in the fruit, in the produce. By Bikurim, there is no such halacha. And the Mikdash David explains, and we've actually alluded to this, that the two terutzim that we just said are really connected to the question, is Bikurim a chayvus aguf or a chayvus hakarka? Our Gemara began by quoting the Mishnah Masechta Bikurim that says, according to the Rabbanan, who somebody bought two trees, mevi ve'enikayre. So the Sefer Chemda Shloima, in the first siman in the Sefer, asks a question. We know that halacha is that if somebody is considered the owner of a property, based on Hamotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya, that means I'm on a property and I am keeping the property because I am the muhsik, I'm the one on the property, the halacha considers it full-fledged my property. So ask the Chemda Shloima, if based on the question that we started our shiur with today, where somebody bought two trees and a property, we're not sure who is the owner of the property. Is it the seller or is it the buyer? So Hamaitzi Mechaveir Olav Araya says that the property remains the seller. So ask the Chemda Shloima, if that's what the halacha teaches us, so why would the buyer have even the most minimal obligation of maybe Ve'enekaira? The halacha ought to be that this person should be totally exempt. Many Achroinim ask this question, and they answer that when we say ha mitz mechaveroi olav haraya, ha mitz mechaveroi olav haraya is only a halacha regarding who could continue using it. In other words, there's a halacha of a muhsik. Ha mitz mechaveroi olav haraya really is coming to teach us that there is no halacha of that there is that the muhsik, the morakama, the person who's on the property till now remains on the property, but not that Hamotzi Mechaveira Olav Haraya tells us that the seller is the owner of the property. Hamotzi Mechaveira Olav Haraya is only to teach us that that's how we should continue working with this property. But when it comes to Bikurim, that is a question of ownership. Maitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya doesn't answer that question. And therefore, because we have a question of Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya, therefore because we have a question of who is the true owner of the property, therefore the halacha is that even the buyer is going to maybe bring Bikurim Ve'enekayri. Ask the Gemara, Vatksiv, doesn't the pasuk in that parasha Bikurim say, Reish Bikurim ad moscha, Tavi Beis Hashem Elkecha, so we see that the halacha is only ad moscha, on property that you own. So again, ask the Gemara, how could you say that it applies to somebody else's property? And says Gemara, that pasuk is coming to teach us La Elmute Admas Avodis Kachavim, to tell us that property owned by a non-Jew is not chayiv, and fruit grows on it is not chayiv and bikurim. And the way the Rishonim explain this question, there's a question throughout Shas, Im yesh kinyan la'akum be'eretz Yisrael, if an akum could have ownership in Eretz Yisrael, lefkiyim edei maisers, to exempt somebody from the chayiv of bikurim and maiser. So according to the opinion that says that ain't, that according to the opinion that an akum does not have that ability, so maybe we would think that the Bikurim, that the Akum is potter from, that even property owned by an Akum should be chayiv and Bikurim, teaches us the Gemara that is not the halacha, and the halacha is that produce that is grown on property that's owned by an Akum, there is no chayiv of Bikurim. The Rashbam says, quotes the Mishnah Masechet Bikurim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalad, which speaks again about the parasha that we've been speaking about, Bikurim. The parasha of Mikra Bikurim is what is said along when you bring Bikurim. And the part of the parasha, it says, Kibos al arz ashenishbel avaseinu loseis lonu, that we're bringing Bikurim from the land that you promised to our fathers. So now the question is, a ger, who is not a descendant of our forefathers, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, cannot say this parsha. Similarly, when we say Shmon Esrei, and we begin the words of Shmon Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Aviseinu, a ger can't say ve'Elokei Aviseinu, he should say Elokei Aves Yisrael. Similarly, says the Reino Tam, that when a ger says Birchas Hamazon, and we say Shalchatol Aviseinu Eretz Chemda, he should not say Shenchata Lavaseinu Eretz Chemda, because it wasn't his Avaseinu that were promised that's Yisrael. However, the halacha does not follow that Mishnah, Misak Bikurim, but rather the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who's quoted in Yerushalmi, says that a ger can say Elokei Avram, because Avram Avinu, we know, was called the Av Hamoyim Goyim, the father of all nations. And the Ramban says, the Rambam explains that the meaning of Av Hamoyim Goyim is that Avram Avinu is considered the father of all Gerim who join Klal Yisrael and accept Hashem as their God, just like Avram Avinu. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, any place where Avram Avinu is mentioned as our forefather, a Ger could say that. The Ri says that even though a ger, as we just learned, can refer to Avram Avinu as his forefather, he still can't say the Parshas Bikurim. Because as we just said, the Parshas Bikurim says, Loseis Lanu, and wasn't given to Gerim or to their ancestors. The Rambam disagrees, and he says that a ger can even say the Parshas Bikurim, which says, Loseis Lanu. And the Kappos Tamarim explains the opinion of the Rambam. He says that the Pasuk in Yecheskel says that Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, the Meheri Yameinu, Gerim will receive a portion of Eretz Yisrael. So he says when the Gerim say, Los Aslanu, then since they're going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes, they could say, Los Aslanu. The Kappos Tamarim says, if that's the case, so why when Yeshua divided up Eretz Yisrael, did Gerim not get a portion of Eretz Yisrael? So the Kappos Tamarim explains, the Gerim in the time of Yeshua did not really become Gerim 100% Lishma, with the proper intent. They became Gerim because they saw the incredible Nisa miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael as we left Mitzrayim. However, says the Kappos Tamarim, anyone who becomes a ger nowadays, when Klal Yisrael are oppressed, when there's so much anti-Semitism, and it's not something, being Jewish is not something which is so desirable, anybody who becomes a ger b'zman hazeh is certainly doing it with the purest of intent. And therefore, says the Kappos Tamarim, explains the Rambam, that the gerim who became gerim in these times, Mashiach will come and Mitzvah Shem and Meher B'Yameinu, they will get a share in Eretz Yisrael together with the rest of us. Ask the Gemara of Ksiv, the Pasuk in the Parash Bikurim says, V'ate hine v'eses reishis pri adomash nosat li Hashem. So property that I received and not property that I bought. So the discussion in our shir, asked the Gemara, is about property that was bought. And he didn't, so how could he bring the, how could he say Mikra Bikurim? Answers the Gemara, the wording is very appropriate. Because the means, the Yavli Zuziv is Avnibay. How does somebody have the ability to buy property? He has the ability to buy property because Hashem gives him the money. So that's why the words of Shnusatali are most appropriate. Ask the Gemara, Mas of Rabbah. The Brisa teaches us, if somebody buys only one tree in somebody else's property, he brings Bikurim, but he doesn't say the Pasha Bikurim. So we see that clearly Rameyer's opinion is that when somebody buys just one tree, where Rameyer agrees that when you bought one tree, you don't own any land, you don't say Mashas Bikurim. Not like we're suggesting that Rameyer says that even kind of Perisim and Ashuk, you may be the Kaira. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta. Shmuel's attempted explanation in Rameyer, that if you own, that even if you don't own the property, you have to bring, you say Pashas Bikurim, is clearly refuted. The halacha is, we're learning based on the Mishnah and the Braisa, that if you don't own the property, you still bring Bikurim, you just don't say the Mikra Bikurim. Amalei Rav Shimon ben Yochum le Rav Eloza. My time the Rameya, why did Rameya hold Be'ilan Echad when you only bought one tree? And as we just finished explaining, if you only own one tree, then everybody agrees that you don't bring, that you bring Bikurim and you don't say Mpash Bikurim. And that is also, as we learned the Mishnah Bikurim teach us, my time the Rabban B'Shnei Alonis, but we're learning that if there's no Chiyuv Kriya, if you can't say the Pasha Mikra Bikurim, the halacha ought to be that you shouldn't have to bring the Bikurim. Amalai, so Rav Elazar said to Rav Shimon ben Eliyakim, Dovish HaRishonim L'Yamar Batam, something that the earlier generations weren't able to explain, Tishaleni bebeis amedrish kudelev asheni. Are you going to ask me a question to embarrass me? And the Ar Sameach says from here a halacha that if you know that the person that you're asking a question of does not know the answer to the question, you should not ask him the question. And I think what's also included is if the person doesn't know the answer to the question, and he so informs you that he doesn't know the answer to the question, you shouldn't continue pressing him for an answer. He told you, I don't know the answer, and with that it should be sufficient. Amar Rava Mai Kasha says, Rabbi, I don't understand your question. Dilma Ramei, the way to understand this Gemara is Ramei be'ilan echad tzvuki mesapkalu. Ramei is not sure how to treat what is the halacha when somebody bought just one tree. And similarly, Rabbanon, B'shnei Ilonis, when somebody bought two trees, the Rabbanon don't know how to treat the situation. Svuki Misapkale, they have a suffix, and because they have a suffix, that's why the halacha is that they should bring, but they can't say the Parsha Mikra Bikurim. But ask the Gemara, why are we saying it's a question? Omi Misapkale? Is there any question? For Ketani, we learned in the Braisa Amun Aleph, maybe Veina Kaira, Lefisha Eina Kaira, Lefisha Eloi Kaira Karka Dever Rameya. So it's clear that Rameya holds that it's not considered that you own the property. It's not a question. Says the Gemara, the way to read the Braisa is Eima Shem Eloi Kaira Karka. Rameya is not sure, are you or are you not the owner of this property? So ask the Gemara, and that is a different issue. So you're bringing Bikurim because you have a suffix. You're bringing Bikurim because you're not exactly certain, is there an obligation or not? Are you the owner of the property or not? So ask the Gemara, if you're not obligated to bring the Bikurim, v'leichish demolah Bikurim nenu. So it's not Bikurim. V'kamay chulun bazara. So you're bringing chulun tarazara. And the halach is, you're not allowed to bring chulun lazara. There is a machloikus rishonim. If this iser to bring Bikurim that aren't real Bikurim, Trazor is Issa Daraisa or an Issa Darabonim. The Rajbam says that the Pasuk says, And we learn from here, if you want to eat meat, you could only shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Your chulin may not be slaughtered in the Azara. Says the Rashbam, it's not only a halach in Hilchah Shechita. Nothing, something that doesn't belong in the Azara, there's an Issa Daraisa to bring to the Azara. But then, the Rashbam says, that even though, as we just said, there's an Issa Daraisa to shecht in the Azara, something which doesn't belong in the Azara, the halacha, however, is, says the Rashbam in this pshat, the Issa of bringing chulin to Azara, that is only an Issa the Rabbanim. The Tosfos points out that even when we speak about the Issa to bring to Azara, there's a machlokes rishonim. What does that mean? Tosfos's opinion is that you're only over that iser if you bring it to the Azara and you treat it similarly to kabana, to meat, to kabanas, even though it's not a carbon, which means a carbon we know is brought on the Mizbeach. So when are you over for bringing it to the Azara? When you treat it like a carbon, which would be the example by Bikurim. Because as we said earlier in our shir, the halacha is that the bikurim are brought to the mizbeach. But the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says when we speak here about the iser of chulin ba'azara, it isn't only if you bring the chulin to the azara and you treat it like the kabbonis that you bring it next to the mizbeach, but rather the iser of chulin ba'azara applies under all circumstances. You're not allowed to bring chulin to azara. And maybe the machloikus of Tosfos and Rambam is connected to the other machloikus, is it a deraisa de rabbanim? If we say like Tosfos, where it's framed after kabbonis, so only by kabbonis is there an iser of chulin ba'azara. According to the Rambam, who has a much broader application of this iser, so everything will have an iser deraisa to bring chulin ba'azara. So we're back to our question. If they're not Bikurim, how are we allowed to bring them to the Azara? Answers, the Gemara, the Magdish Lahu, that you Magdish them, and you say, if these are Bikurim, then I'm bringing them as Bikurim, and if they're not Bikurim, I'm using them, I'm being Magdish them, and therefore I'm allowed to bring them, and therefore I'm bringing them as a carbon. And we showed him the bait. What type of hegdish would it have to be? The Rashbam says it would have to be a hegdish kedushas haguf, that you're bringing it on the mizbeach. The Rambam says any hegdish would be sufficient. Ask the Gemara, but we know the bikurim are given to the kohanim to eat. V'boy mechlenu, the kohen has to eat the bikurim, but now if it's hegdish, he can't eat them. It would be meal behegdish, says the Gemara, the parkluhu, where we redeem them. And once we redeem them, they can be eaten. But ask the Gemara, there's another issue. The halacha is that, as we mentioned earlier, that from all produce, we have to take truma and meiser. But produce that is designated as bikurim, we don't take truma and meiser. So ask the Gemara, maybe this produce that we're bringing as supposed bikurim, the malah bikurim ninu, are really not bikurim. And by bringing them and treating them that way, we're going to become mafglum and truma meiser. We're going to exempt them from truma meiser when really the chayv and truma meiser. Answers the Gemara, the mafrish lahu. We take off truma meiseris from this produce that we're not sure from these payers, that we're not sure if they're bikurim or not. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam Truma, the Truma Gdaila, the Yavla Kayin, because we're giving to the Kayin. What does that mean? Bikurim, as we said earlier, is given to the Kayin. Truma is given to the Kayin. So we give this fruit to the Kayin and we say, if it's Bikurim, it belongs to you. If it's Truma, it belongs to you. No problem. Maisa Sheni, the loch is the Maisa Sheni is brought the first and second and fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, and it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the halacha is that, so I'll give it to the Kohen, and I say you should eat it in Yerushalayim. But as the Hagos Abach, the halacha is that the Gemara Masech the Gedushin teaches us specifically according to Rameyer, the Meiser Sheni Mom Gavayuhu. The Meiser Sheni is considered produce that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, and you can't give it as a gift. So how are we saying that I'm giving it to the Kohen, and I'm saying that if it's Bikurim, it belongs to you. And if it's Meiser Sheni, I'm giving you, and I should be eating in Yerushalayim, I'm giving you the right to eat it, but I can't give Meiser Sheni as a gift. So the Bach answers that we're going to have to explain that we're speaking about a case where the owner redeems this Meiser Sheni before he actually gives it to the Kohen. And he takes that money and treats it like Meiser Sheni money. The Rishash says a different teretz. He says, when is there a halacha that we're not allowed to give Meiser Sheni as a gift? Is when I have the opportunity to eat the Meiser Sheni. So if I have the opportunity to eat the Meiser Sheni, I should eat the Meiser Sheni and not give it away as a gift. However, he explains, in this case, because we're not sure what it is, that we're not sure if it's Bikurim or not, so I, the owner, the Yisrael, cannot eat it. In a case where I, the Yisrael, cannot eat it, then I may give it as a gift. The Stipler says, when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to give it as a gift, what it means is I'm not allowed to give it as a gift. But if I don't give it, I don't make a kinyan. And I saw the Daki David along the same lines says, I don't actually make a kinyan and give it to the Kohen. I just invite the Kohen to eat it. And therefore, if I have my Sesheni produce at home in Yerushalayim, and I invite somebody to eat in my home, there the halacha is that the person is allowed to eat the Meiser Sheni in my home, and by him eating the Meiser Sheni in my home, it's not considered as if I gave him a gift. Since it's not considered as if I gave him a gift, the halacha will be that it's not a violation of the halacha of you now that I give Meiser Sheni as a gift. Meiser Ani, if it's a year of Meiser Ani, the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, I'll give it to the Yoav Leila Kohen Ani. The Kohen I'll choose to give the Bikurim to will be a person who deserves Meiser Ani. So again, if it's Bikurim, he's getting it as a Kohen. And if it's Meiser Ani, he's getting it as a Ani. Ela Meiser Rishon, ask the Gemara, the Halacha Meiser Rishon, the Levi who? The Levi, Meiser Rishon belongs to the Levi, so now we have a problem. Leman Yovle, who are we going to give it to? If it belongs to the Kohen, it doesn't belong to the Levi. And if it belongs, who gets the Meiser Rishon? And if it belongs to the, and if it's, so if it's Bikurim, it should go to the Kohen. And if it's Meiser Rishon, it should go to the Levi. Answers the Gemara, the Yavle the Kohen. We give it to the Kohen. And we're following, says the Gemara, Rebbe Loz ben Azariah, we're following the opinion of Rebbe Loz ben Azariah, that the Meiser Rishon can be given to the Kohen. The Tanya Truma Gedoyla the Kohen, or Meiser Rishon Levi Divri Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Loz ben Azariah, Omer, Meiser Rishon L'Kohen, the Meiser Rishon goes to the Kohen. There's Machloikus Rishonim, how to understand this Machloikus Tanoim of Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Loz ben Azariah. The Rashbam says that Midaraisa, everybody agrees that the Meiser Rishon belongs to the Levi. The Machloikus is after Ezra saw that the Levim did not participate in coming to Yerushalayim, coming to Yisrael, after the goals from Bais Rishon, so he said that the Meiser Rishon should be given to the Kohanim. According to Rabbi Kiva, it means that Ezra said that not only may the Kohanim have the not only may the Levim get Meiser Rishon, but the Kohanim as well. And that was Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion was that only the Kohanim are entitled to this after Ezra's rule. The Ritva says, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Levim were never punished. And the halacha is that Levim are the ones that always get Meiser Rishon. Ezra cannot take it away from the Levim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the halacha is that they can get it. They can get it. And the Kohanim now, after the Knas, could get it. And we'll explain that's why the Kohanim are entitled to it. Tosfos' opinion is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are arguing both before the Knas and after the Knas. The Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that the Levim are the ones that get Mais Rishon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion is that the Kohanim are entitled to them as well. But ask the Gemara another question. So we don't know how to treat this produce that we're bringing. Is it Bikurim? Is it not Bikurim? Ask the Gemara, Dumma Bikurim Ninhu. Ubay Kriya, as we've been learning throughout our Shir, that when you bring Bikurim, you have to say the Mikra Bikurim. Answers the Gemara, Kriya Loi Makevis. If you didn't say that parasha, it's acceptable. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Veloi, Vamrab Zayra, Kala Roy Labila, Ain Bila Makevis Ba. Vishain Roy Labila, Ain Bila Makevis Ba. The Gemara Masechta Menachos, Daf Kuf Gimel on the base teaches us that if somebody donated for a mincha, 61 isorin, a carbon mincha that will have 61 isorin of oil. The halacha is he can't bring it in one vessel. He can never bring in one vessel more than 60 isorin of oil. Because the halacha is that when you have more than 60 isorin of oil, it doesn't mix well. So the Gemara asks, but the whole mixing is not required. So why is the halacha that if you didn't, why is the halacha that if you can't mix it, it's a problem? Answers the Gemara, you don't have to mix, but you have to be able to mix. So if that's the case, if it's 61, you have too much oil that's not mixable, it's not good. So here too, asks the Gemara, yes, if somebody brought Bikurim without the Kriya, it's fine, but you have to be able to make the Kriya. And here the Kriya is not an option. Answers the Gemara, Davar like Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. What you'll do is, you'll bring it as Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina suggests. Dama, Batsa v'shugrim b'yad shliach. If the owner cut the fruit, but he sent it with a shliach to Yerushalayim, or if the shliach even was the one that cut the fruit, and started taking it to Yerushalayim. And then Mei Shliach, Bederach, the Shliach dies on the way to Yerushalayim, and another Shliach is the one that brings it, maybe Vayna Kaira. Nobody could say Kaira. Nobody could say the Parashat Bikurim. My Tam Diksiv, V'lekachta, Mereshit Kol Pri Adom, Asher Tovim Yatzecha, Asher M'shem, L'kecha Noisulach, V'samta B'ten V'lechta, L'mokam Shivcha, Asher L'shakish Ma'isham. And the Pasuk, so what does the Pasuk have to say? This whole thing, it should have just said Vaveisa Me'artzecha, just said that we bring the Bikurim from your land. Answers the Gemara from here we learn Achtei Lekich Vavar Ke'echad. One person has to do the entire act from beginning to end, and if not Valeka, there's no halacha of Mikra Bikurim, and that's what we'll set up. We'll set up a situation where there shouldn't have to be a mikra bikurim. So the Rashbam explains that if the owner cut them and the shliach brings it to Yerushalayim, or if the shliach cut them and he didn't make it all the way to Yerushalayim, the halacha is that in both cases they don't say the parsha bikurim, because you only say the parsha bikurim if one person did everything from beginning to end. And if they didn't do everything to beginning to end, that's how we could avoid the requirement from, you could avoid the requirement of Mikra Bikurim, and therefore you'll be able to solve the problem that we're discussing in our Shir. How could you bring it as Bikurim if you can't do Mikra Bikurim?